verse of Scripture that we would like to leave with you this evening. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. As we had previously announced, our subject for this evening is the babblings, blasphemies of televangelists, faith healer, whatever you want to call him, Benny Hinn. The Lord Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, reveals to His disciples some of those things that will take place in the last days prior to the Lord's return and to the end of the world. You read there in verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" It is interesting to note how the Lord Jesus began answering this particular challenge from the disciples. For in verses 4 and 5, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." That's where the Lord began, by telling His disciples the days prior to His coming would be days of deception. And then He went on to say, verse 5, "And many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And then the Lord went on to speak about wars and rumors of wars. He went on to speak about how nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. He went on to say that there would be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. The Lord Jesus dealt with the deception of that day first of all, and that it would be a day of false teaching and false prophets. The false prophets will be in the vanguard of this deception. For we read in verse 23 and verse 24, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." False prophets, false messages, day of deception and counterfeit. When we look around us today, we see the apostasy and the false prophets that occupy the pulpits of apostate churches. We look wider afield and we behold some of these worldwide evangelists, these men that appear on television on a daily basis, make amazing proclamations. One such individual is a man by the name of Benny Hinn, the son of Arab parents. Benny Hinn is one of the leading charismatic faith healers, televangelists of this day. His Benny Hinn Ministries website states that his popular daily half-hour television program, This Is Your Day, is seen across the United States and around the world in more than 190 nations. It is seen on a daily basis in more than 90 television stations and national cable networks And satellite links are continually being added. So it appears that Benny Hinn is quite successful at what he's doing. We must ask ourselves this evening, what is it that has made this person, this individual, so popular that he has in these days such a following? Wherever he holds his crusades, thousands, tens of thousands of people gather there to witness the happenings, the things that are done and the things that Benny Hinn has to say. I would like to say that anyone who has any spiritual discernment or any knowledge of the Scriptures will recognize Benny Hinn from his antics, his announcements, his proclamations, his so-called prophecies. They will recognize Benny Hinn as one of the false prophets that the Lord Jesus spoke about here in Matthew 24. He may be recognized as a false prophet by the statements and claims he has made over the years. Statements and claims, we're told, he has made under the anointing, referring to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This anointing, according to the author Kurt Koch, you may have read his book on the occult. According to that publication, in his book, Kurt Koch states that Benny Hinn received this anointing from another charismatic, Catherine Kuhlman. In fact, Benny Hinn esteems Catherine Kuhlman very highly. This is the same Catherine Kuhlman who was also a mentor for John Arnott of the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, or the Toronto Blessing. Now you're beginning to get the link. And it is to Toronto's Air Canada Center that Benny Hinn is scheduled to appear on July the 11th and 12th, just in a few days' time, for one of his great miracle healing crusades. I believe it is important for us to be aware, to know what these men are about, to examine this man's message and this man's ministry under the spotlight of God's holy, infallible, and inspired Word. And if Benny Hinn's message and ministry does not tally with God's Word, we reject Benny Hinn's message and his ministry. We reject him as a false prophet, and we reject his message as a false message. So let us consider this individual, the things he has said. I could easily keep you here to midnight. I've had to be very selective in bringing before you tonight some of his statements and his claims. I want us to consider, first of all, the babblings of Benny Hinn. When we listen to a little child, an infant, before the child learns to speak, it'll just babble, it'll just make noises. You cannot understand what the child is saying, and what it is attempting to say makes no sense. That is why I am speaking tonight, first of all, about the babblings of Benny Hinn, because many of the things that he has said and the statements he has come out with do not make any sense. And they most certainly do not hold up under close scrutiny of God's infallible Word. Let us first of all then give you some examples of the babblings of Benny Hinn. What I'm about to say and quote from Benny Hinn was spoken by him on Praise the Lord, Trinity Broadcasting Network, October 19th, 1999. This is what he has to say about dead people being raised to life as they're placed in front of a television set. He said, but here's first what I see for TBN. You're going to have people raised from the dead watching this network. You're going to have people raised from the dead watching TBN. Programs, just plain programs, programs that haven't done much when it comes to supernatural manifestations, teaching programs. It's not going to be a Benny Hinn saying, stretch your hands. It's going to be your average teaching program, your normal Christian program that's blessing the church. There's going to be such power in these programs. People will be raised from the dead worldwide. I'm telling you, I see this in the Spirit. Now remember, and remember this, these quotations that we're giving you, Hinn claims to be under the influence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm telling you this in the Spirit. It's going to be so awesome. Jesus, I give you praise for this, that people around the world, maybe not so much in America, people around the world who will lose loved ones, will say to undertakers, not yet, I want to take my dead loved one and place him in front of that TV set for 24 hours. We talk about the babblings of Benny Hinn. Does that make any sense? Doesn't make any sense to me. Another man that appeared on the program with him, Paul Crouch, he replies, Benny Hinn, Jesus, is taking the Lord's name in vain. Benny Hinn then replies, I'm telling you, people will be, people, I'm telling you, I feel the anointing talking here. People are going to be canceling funeral services and bringing their dead in their caskets, placing them, my God, he says. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. I feel the anointing here. Placing them before a television set, waiting for God's power to come through and touch them. And it's going to happen time and time. So much. It's going to spread. You're going to hear it from Kenya to Mexico to Europe to South America, where people will be raised from the so much so that the word will spread that if some dead person be put in front of this TV screen, they will be raised from the dead and they will be by the thousands. Now this is his prophecy. And he says that he's speaking with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this was prophesied October 19th, 1999. I haven't heard of one person been raised from the dead, sitting in front of a television. He goes on to say, I see quite something amazing. I see rows of caskets lining up in front of this TV set, and I see them bringing them closer to the TV set as people are coming closer. I see actually loved ones picking up the hands of the dead and letting them touch the screen, and people are getting raised as their hands are touching the screen. Babblings. Danny Hill. Let me go on with something else, in another vein. Benny Hinn tells us that when we pray, we should never, quote, never, ever go to the Lord and say, if it be thy will. Don't allow such faith-destroying words to be spoken from your mouth. When you pray, if it be your will, Lord, faith will be destroyed. Doubt will billow up and flood your being. Be on guard against words like this, which will rob you of your faith and drag you down in despair. Quote from his book, Raised and Be Healed, page 47, page 48. Now here is a man claims to speak with the anointing of the Spirit of God. Here is a man that claims to be a great spiritual leader. And this man says, never, ever, ever go to the Lord and say, if it be thy will. Turn with me to James chapter 4. Epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Verse 15. For that ye ought to say. Then he hence says, don't say this. The word of God says ye ought to say. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's what the Lord tells us to do. That indeed we are to say, Lord, if it is thy will. And we as God's people are to be Christ-like. We are to be like the Lord Jesus. And how did the Lord Jesus pray in Gethsemane's garden? Not my will, but thy will be done. How did the Lord Jesus teach us to pray? Luke chapter 11. Every child knows what is called the Lord's Prayer. Luke chapter 11, and it came to pass, verse 1, that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what the Lord says. Who are we to believe? We reject totally, absolutely, completely babblings of Benny Hinn. Something to say about the first man. Something to say about Adam. He says Adam was a super being when God created him. I don't know whether people know this, but he was the first superman that really ever lived. First of all, the scriptures declare clearly that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Of course, how can he have dominion over the birds and not be able to do what they do? Talk about rending the scriptures. He goes on to say the word dominion in the Hebrew clearly declares that if you have dominion over a subject, that you do everything that subject does. In other words, that subject, if it does something you cannot do, you don't have dominion over it. I'll prove it further. Adam not only He flew to space. He was, with one thought, he would be on the moon. That's what he thinks of Adam. A Superman who was able to fly and with one thought could be on the moon. The babblings of Benny Hinn. Let me give you something else. You remember when Job suffered great loss, lost all of his possessions. Job said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is what Benny Hinn had to say. He said this on the Benny Hinn program, Trinity Broadcasting Network, November 3rd, 1990. You know what? We have said this a million times, and it's not even scriptural. All because of Job. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1, verse 21. I have news for you, Benny Hinn tells us. That is not Bible. That is not Bible. The Lord giveth and never taketh away. And just because he said, blessed be the name of the Lord, don't mean that he's right. When he said, blessed be the name, he was just being religious. And being religious doesn't mean you're right. Absolute garbage. Turn to Job chapter 1. And let us indeed see what the Bible does say about Job. Now remember, Benny Hinn says that Job was no more than a religious man. Thousands of religious people today, that's all they have is their religion. They'll never be in the kingdom of heaven because that's all they have is their religion. They don't have the Redeemer and they don't have redemption. He said that Benny Hinn was just a religious man. Well, that's not the Lord's testimony of Job. Verse 1 of Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's the Holy Spirit's testimony of Job. Benny Hinn's testimony, Job was just a religious man. The Holy Spirit's testimony of Job, he was a perfect man, or justified man. He was upright, he feared God, and he eschewed evil. Verse 3 of Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him, destroy him without cause. Benny Hinn said that Job was nothing more than a religious man. God says, a righteous man, a justified man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He said that we should never say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Benny Hinn doesn't realize, or he's just so ignorant that he doesn't know what Job went on to say. Or rather, what it is recorded about Job. That in all this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge the Lord falsely. Just more babblings from Benny Hinn. Now, being a so-called faith healer, he had a lot to say about sickness. I could take the rest of the evening answering Benny Hinn on the matter of sickness. But this is what he had to say about sickness. He says, sickness does not belong to you. It has no part in the body of Christ. Sickness does not belong to any of us. The Bible declares if the Word of God is in our life, there will be health, there will be healing, divine health and divine healing. There will be no sickness for the saint of God. If Moses could live such a healthy life, so can you, he goes on to say. He promises to heal all, everyone, any whatsoever, everything, all our diseases. That means not even a headache, sinus problem, not even a toothache, nothing. No sickness should come your way. Quote from Rise and Be Healed, page 14 and page 32. Now, is that scriptural? Is what Benny Hinn, as we have just quoted, is that scriptural what he has said? Well, we better find out. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You probably are aware of the passage of scripture we're turning to, where Paul had an affliction. He had some sickness or other, what he called a thorn in the flesh. Some believe that Paul suffered from a disease of the eyes. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure. It was the reason for Paul's sickness, Paul's infirmity. Here was the reason for it. There was a reason for it. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Did the Lord heal Paul? No, he didn't. Did Paul have the gift of healing? Why didn't Paul heal himself? So it is the will of God for God's people to be sick from time to time. It is the will of God. It is the teaching of Scripture. See, it Spurgeon suffered from gout for the most of his days. Are we going to say, see, it Spurgeon wasn't right with God? One of the greatest preachers who ever lived, the man who's called the Prince of Preachers, Robert Murray McShane, holy, godly man. They described him as Holy McShane. And yet McShane was a very weak individual, weak in body, and died in his 30th year. David Brainard, the missionary, was a man that suffered great sickness and weakness in body. I tell you, these men with their sicknesses did more in their lifetime than Benny Hinn will ever do. Spurgeon led thousands. We're still talking about McShane and Brainard today. They being dead. Yet their ministry lives on and follows them. Here's Paul. He was sick. And he asked the Lord to remove that sickness. And the Lord didn't remove the sickness. Instead, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'll give you the grace to bear the sickness. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. there was benefit, there was blessing from Paul's sickness. His strength, God's strength, was made perfect in Paul's weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Give me the word of Paul any day. In verse 20, Paul here speaking about some of his fellow laborers, those who labored with him and were laboring with him in the gospel. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Servant of God. A missionary that went out and sacrificed many things for the cause of Christ, and he was sick, and the Lord allowed him to be sick. Penny Hinton tells us that we should never be sick. Poor man doesn't know what he's talking about. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here was Paul's word to Timothy. Evidently, Timothy had a weakness in the body, some kind of infirmity, for we read in verse 23, 1 Timothy 5, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. How did Paul describe young Timothy? Chapter 5, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, 2 Timothy, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Unfeigned faith. Timothy was a young man of unfeigned faith. He was the genuine article. And yet Timothy had his often infirmity. Why, we could speak to Timothy today. We would say, Timothy, Benny Hinn says you should never be sick. Benny Hinn says you should never have these infirmities. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Quite a few titles there for Epaphroditus. Companion in labor, fellow soldier, messenger, minister. And he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. Epaphroditus was sick. Very evident is a godly man, a man with a love in his heart for the work of God and the servants of the Lord and the people of the Lord. Verse 27, Paul says, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully that, when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. The words there mean that Epaphroditus worked so hard in the work of God that he lay at death's door. That's what it means. He was sick. Nigh unto death, he was sick. And lying at death's door. He was sick. Then he hadn't says he shouldn't have been sick. Shouldn't Paul shouldn't have been sick. Timothy shouldn't have been sick. Just another example of the babblings of them. Then the good man for making prophecies made this prophecy for the 90s on his program, This Is Your Day, Orlando Christian Center, January 1st, 1990. 12 years ago, I could tell you a lot of the prophecies that he made, so-called prophecies, but I just want to highlight this one. He prophesied that in the 90s, sodomite community in America would be destroyed by fire. He said, the Lord also tells me, mark those words again. Then he hence says, the Lord told him this. The Lord also tells me to tell you in the mid-90s, about 94, 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community in America. But he will not destroy it with what many minds have thought him to be. He will destroy it with fire, and many will turn and be saved, and many will rebel and be destroyed. More babbling. A million people were in Toronto last week for that sodomite parade. Millions go to Disney in Orlando every year. They even hit using the term for Gay Pride Day. Let's give them their proper biblical title, sodomites. Benny Hinn prophesied, and he says the Lord told them that they would be destroyed by fire around 94, 95. Well, it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. The Lord didn't tell them. It wasn't the anointing of the Spirit of God that was upon him. It was another spirit. It wasn't the Lord Jesus that told them. More babbling. In the same program, he went on to say, the Spirit tells me, Spirit told him in 1990 that Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. Oh my, some will try to kill him and they will not succeed, but there will come a change in his physical health and he will not stay in power and Cuba will be visited by God. I will visit Cuba. Last I heard, Fidel Castro is alive and well. And unfortunately, as yet no revival has broken out in Cuba. I'm interested to know that Benny Hinn doesn't believe God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He sides with the evolutionists in this matter. Because he said in one of his programs, billions of years ago, not millions, billions of years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he goes on to say, you've got to understand, science confirms the Bible. No, it doesn't. It's the Bible that confirms science. We don't go to science to find out if such and such is true. We go to the Word of God. This is God's holy Word. But Benny Hinn says, you've got to understand, science confirms the Bible, not the other way around. And I never will forget a guy sitting on Nightline with Ted Koppel. And they were talking back and forth about how old the earth is. And the scientist said it's probably billions. And this preacher said 6,000. I said, you preacher ought to just shut up. because he didn't know what he was talking about. And they made a fool out of him because he just didn't know the Bible really teaches. Yes, it's been 6,000 years since Adam. Of course it has. We all know that, but the earth is not 6,000 years old. More babblings from them. The Bible tells us when the earth was made, and I believe. Now here's a good one. At Oral Roberts University, broadcast on Trinity Broadcasting Network, August 4th, 1997. Benny Hinn, quote, God Almighty. I begin this quote. And I prophesied in the Holy Ghost. I prophesied in the Spirit. God Almighty is about to sweep into the evangelical movement of America with a mighty revival of the Holy Ghost. He goes on, get ready, lady. You who have been married to an ungodly husband, who comes home and mocks your faith in God, curses you, calls you names. He tells you you're crazy to go and listen to some preacher named Benny Hinn, who tells you you're crazy to go to church. Get ready for the day to come when God will tell you, lay on his side of the bed. And you'll say, why, Lord? He will say, lay on his side of the bed because the anointing on you is about to rub the sheets and the pillow, and he's going to walk home, and he's going to walk home. One day he'll come home, and when he lays in bed, the power of God will take hold of him, and he'll look at you and say, honey, I want Jesus. Completely rules out the preaching of the Word of God. He's really saying that that unsaved man doesn't need to get under the sound of the preaching of the Word. His wife just needs to lie on his side of the bed. And the anointing will go on the sheets and the pillow, and her husband will lie on that side of the bed and get saved. Even though Paul tells us faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Says nothing about the wife lying on the husband's side of the bed. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 verses 13 to 16 deals with the matter of an unsaved husband and a saved wife in the home. And Paul emphasizes the fact that through the witness and testimony and behavior of the godly, saved wife in the home, the husband may be saved. That's what the Scriptures teach. Here's something else. Benny Hinn reportedly said that the Spirit of God told him that God originally designed women to give birth out of their sides. More babblings from them. Regarding the Lord appearing in a physical form in one of his meetings, this is what he had to say. He says, I believe, hear this, I believe that Jesus, God's Son, is about to appear physically in meetings and to believers around the world to wake us up. He appeared after his resurrection and he's about to appear before his second coming. You know, a prophetess sent me word through my wife right here, and she said, tell your husband that Jesus is going to physically appear in his meetings. I'm expecting to see, I'm telling you, I feel it's going to happen. I'm careful in how I'm saying it now because I know that people in Kenya are listening. I know deep in my soul something supernatural is going to happen in Nairobi, Kenya. I feel that I may very well come back, and you and Jan, that's the two people with them in the broadcast, are coming. Paul and Jan are coming to Nairobi with me. But Paul, we may very well come back with footage of Jesus on the platform. Now I hear this, I'm prophesying this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is about to appear physically in some churches, in some meetings, and to many of us people, for one reason, to tell you he's about to show up. Terrible, isn't it? Just amazing. And if anybody with any wit or ounce of sense at all were tempted to go to Benny Hinn's meeting, surely a closer examination of this man, his ministry and his message and his statements would turn them right off and want of nothing to do with such a false prophet. Concerning his behavior, Benny Hinn pronounced a curse and all who criticized him. So we better watch out. The curse is on the way. This is what he said. He said this at one of his crusades in Denver, Colorado, 17th of September, 1999. He said, "I place a curse on every man and every woman that would stretch out his hand against this anointing. I curse that man who dares to speak a word against this ministry." Is that scriptural? The answer is found in James. Number of passages of Scripture. Turn to James chapter 3. Balaam couldn't curse Jacob because of God's blessing on Jacob. Here we read in James chapter 3 and verse 8. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Note the context. James is speaking about the tongue, full of deadly poison. No man can tame it. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be." Can a person with the same tongue bless one people, pronounce a curse on the other? In Numbers 23, verses 7 and 8, we read there that Balaam was employed to pronounce a curse in Israel. He said, "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied?" We could go on. And then we go on further with regard to his behavior. He commented on this curse that he had placed on those who opposed his ministry and stood against him. He said on Praise the Lord Trinity Broadcasting Network, September 10th, 1999. He said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll place a curse on every man and every woman that will stretch his hand against this anointing. I curse that man who dares to speak a word against this ministry. But any man and any woman that raises his or her hand in blessing towards this ministry, I'll bless that man. I'll bless that home. I'll bless that family." Benny Hinn goes on to say, "Under this anointing, the words I speak cannot fall to the ground. Under this anointing, everything I say happens." Now he's claiming infallibility. He's just a little pope. Of course, he makes appeals to his listeners and his followers for money. It's evident he's very covetous. For he had this to say on a Praise-a-thon, April 2nd, 1991. He says, quote, "Years ago they used to preach, 'Oh, we are going to walk on streets of gold.' I would say, 'I don't need the gold up there. I have got to have it down here.'" Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:10, "The love of money is the root of all evil." He also made a proclamation on the Praise-a-thon, Praise the Lord, November 6, 1990. He said, "I am a little Messiah walking on earth." His latest names and ways of attracting people to his broadcasts and his crusades, he now is able to communicate with the dead. He has had dreams. I'll not take time to go through the rubbish. But these dreams, and he said they were more like a vision. And he goes on to say, "You may have a problem with this. I honestly don't really care. I have walked in that supernatural world. I have seen things you will never be able to understand unless you've been in it. I have had individuals appear to me in my room, not only angels. I have seen sights in prayer, incredible sights." He goes to graves. He believes he's, and others who go to these graves are able to get anointings from the dead people entombed there in those graves. He said this of a woman called Amy Semple McPherson. Concerning her burial place, speaking of those who were with him in this program, he says, "They're going to come with me. You're going to feel the anointing at Amy's tomb. It's incredible. And Catherine's, it's amazing. I've heard of people healed when they visit that tomb. They were totally healed by God's power." You say, "What a crazy thing." Yes, we do say, "What a crazy thing." That's popery. That's necromancy. That's dealing with familiar spirits. Scripture, the clear teaching of Scripture is we're to avoid these things. Then we come to the worst part of all. We come to his blasphemies and heresies. The network that his program appears on, Trinity Broadcasting Network, this is what he had to say about that. TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, will no longer be just a television network. It will be an extension of heaven to earth. It's the link between heaven and earth, this television broadcast. Paul Crouch said, "My Jesus, have mercy," in response to what Benny Hinn said. It's all so irreverent, isn't it? The way they use the Lord's name. Can't stand it. Benny Hinn then replied, "The Lord just said to me these words. I'm hearing myself say them for the first time. TBN will not be only a Christian network. It will be an extension of heaven to the earth, and an extension, it will be like a tube from heaven that the earth can look and say, I'm looking at heaven. I'm partaking of heaven. I'm getting connected to heaven through this TV tube. If I can say it, it will be heaven's signal to earth. It will be as though heaven is transmitting and earth is receiving through that set. So if you want to go to heaven, if you want to go to heaven, you want to see heaven, you want to taste heaven, tune on that channel, cause you will." I thought the only way to go to heaven was through the atoning death, and trusting in the finished work, and through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul was taken up into the third heaven, he saw things that he could not utter. He couldn't tell anybody what he saw. No. I'm depending on the Lord Jesus to get me to heaven, not some television station. Who is the link between heaven and earth? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob lay under the open canopy of heaven and he had a dream and he saw a ladder that extended from heaven to earth and angels ascending and descending. You remember when he woke? Said, "Truly the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And the Lord Jesus commented on that dream that Jacob had. And this is what he said, John 1, verse 51. "And he saith unto him," that is to Nathanael, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The latter is a type of Christ, according to the Lord's own word. Christ is the link between heaven and earth. Christ is the mediator. Christ is the one that came into this world. This is what he had to say about the Trinity. Bless God. As a church, we believe in the blessed Trinity. Three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equal in substance, power, and glory. Benny Hinn doesn't believe. Quote, "Man, I feel revelation knowledge already coming on me here. Lift your hands. Something new is going to happen here today. I feel it just as I walk down here. Holy Spirit, take over in the name of Jesus." God the Father, ladies and gentlemen, is a person. And He is a triune being by Himself, separate from the Son. The Father is a triune being, he tells us. Separate from the Son. That's not what the Lord Jesus said. Read his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 22, and the Lord Jesus declares there that the Father and the Son are one. They are one. Is the heresy of Benny Hinn. Goes on to say, see, God the Father is a person. God the Son is a person. God the Holy Ghost is a person. But each one of them is a triune being by himself. If I can shock you, that would be a key word. For that's what he's about. If he can make these pronouncements that shock people, they get more people to go the next time around to hear what other statement is coming out. And he says, if I can shock you, and maybe I should, there's nine of them. This is the Godhead. Nine of them is what he said. Huh? What did you say? Let me explain. God the Father, ladies and gentlemen, is a person with his own personal spirit, with his own personal soul, and his own personal spirit body. You say, huh? I never heard that. Well, you think you're in this church to hear things you've heard for the last 50 years? You can't argue with the Word, can you? It's all in the Word. Benny Hinn, I'm afraid to tell you, it's not in the Word. Such garbage and rubbish, but it's not in the Word. He made that statement. Benny Hinn, praise the Lord, show